This fourth Sunday of Easter is affectionately called Good Shepherd Sunday, since we hear part of the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, depending on what year it is and the three-year cycle of readings. Probably because of the imagery of Christ as shepherd, this is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. What we hear this year is the declaration from Jesus that he is the gate of the sheepfold. At the outset, it's helpful to pause and note that it is the shepherd who builds the sheepfold, the enclosure that protects the sheep from marauding predators. The sheep do not build it themselves and then go looking for or advertise for a shepherd to look after them. And so it is with the church. The church did not come into existence, nor does it remain in existence, because of the will of its members, who happen to share the same religious and moral convictions. The church came into existence because of the direct will and action of Christ. It is maintained in existence because the Holy Spirit is the soul of the church, in that the Holy Spirit builds, animates, and sanctifies the church. We can never speak of the church like we might speak of some human group. The church is not the sum of the individual members who have a direct relationship with God. The church is the people Christ has claimed for himself, and it traces its origin back to that little flock which Jesus gathered around him when he walked this earth. On a further note, the sheep do not maintain, expand, or refurbish the sheepfold according to their own designs. No, the shepherd and those who work with him do that. So it is with the church. The church belongs to Christ, and no member of the church may refashion it according to individual whims or some group's idea. As it is Christ who gathers the sheep and builds the sheepfold, then he tells us today that it is he, and only he, who is the gate, the entry, the doorway. Not only is he the only gateway into the church, but he is the necessary gateway to the church. No one may enter any other way. Those who enter through him will be safe, will go freely in and out and be sure of finding pasture, to quote our Lord's own words. In Christ's sheepfold, our safety from marauding predators and our sure nourishment is Christ. Isn't this a comforting and uplifting truth? The more we let Christ be our careful and good shepherd, the safer and stronger we will be. Outside of Christ's sheepfold, there is danger and destruction. This is the personal message for each of us, which is so beautifully expressed in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." It is no wonder that this psalm is so warmly welcomed at times of difficulty and sadness, as at the funeral of a loved one. Knowing all things in his divine wisdom, Christ also warns us that some have come, and presumably will come, who are thieves and brigands, who come only to steal and kill and destroy. It would be an interesting exercise to identify who that might be, but that is something for another time. Our Lord's advice is not to listen to them, not to heed the voice of the stranger, but only to listen to his voice. It is the one we know because he is our shepherd. And so it is that Christ has set up safeguards against the false and misleading shepherd who might appear at the sheepfold. Among the clear and enduring safeguards is his work in the church, calling and raising up shepherds after his own heart, who will care for his flock like he does, and in his name. Here we are talking of the crucial and central role of the apostles and their successors, to whom the Lord Jesus entrusted and entrusts to this day the authority to act in his name and in his person. The ordained priesthood guarantees that it really is Christ who acts in the sacraments, and the ordained minister is in himself the sacramental bond that ties the liturgical action of today with what the apostles said and did, and through them to the words and actions of Christ himself. It has been said that without the priesthood, the church would not be the church that Christ founded. And so the future of the church is intricately connected to the continuation of the ordained priestly ministry in its 3 degrees of bishop, priest, and deacon. So on this day of prayer for vocations, we join the universal church in asking the brave shepherd who has gone before us to raise up many young men from our families, parishes, and dioceses who will be shepherds after his own heart and who will spend their lives caring for the sheep and the sheepfold. There is a great reluctance on the part of our families generally, and young people in particular, to speak candidly and even lovingly of the choice to dedicate one's life in service as a consecrated religious or a priest. For many reasons this is so, too many to discuss here, but let one suffice, and it is my own assessment. There has been a widespread decrease in the faith and its practice over the last 50 or so years. I saw recently on Twitter a photograph taken in the 1950s of the altar service at a parish church in Philadelphia in the United States. There were, on estimate, 200 boys filling the sanctuary for the photograph. Admittedly, it was a city with a large population even then. But what we have lost, particularly when speaking of vocations to the priesthood, is that unremarkable, almost expected fact that some of those boys would go to the seminary. Likewise for their sisters, many of them would go to the convent. Those were the days. But we all know it is impossible to go back in time. We can't be 21 again, even if we wanted to. But equally, there is no guarantee that progress actually always brings good. So in our time we must pray deliberately and regularly for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. However, we cannot leave it at that. We must also act and speak. What each one of us can do is to encourage our young men and women to consider these vocations. It can be as simple and effective as saying to a young person, "Have you ever thought of being a priest or a nun?" Or, "I think you would be a good priest or a good nun." Christ used his own voice to call the apostles, but now he will most usually use the voices of parents, grandparents, and other trusted adults to make the call to young people of today. Let me finish with some words from Pope Francis in his message for this Sunday, and I quote, "Taking the right course in life is not something we do on our own, nor does it depend solely on the road we choose to travel. How we find fulfillment in life is more than a decision we make as isolated individuals. Above all else, it is a response to a call from on high. The Lord points out our destination, and he grants us the courage to answer. In calling us, he becomes our helmsman. He accompanies and guides us. He prevents us from running aground on the shoals of indecision, and even enables us to walk on surging waters. I ask the Church to continue to promote vocations. May she touch the hearts of the faithful and enable each of them to discover with gratitude God's call in their lives, to find courage to say yes to God, to overcome all weariness through faith in Christ, and to make of their lives a song of praise for God, for their brothers and sisters, and for the whole world. May the Virgin Mary accompany us and intercede for us.